This is Trivia Friday. The number to call with your question or your answer to a question is 888-589-8840. Now, back to more Trivia Friday.
Hey, welcome back to Trivia Friday, also known as
Learning University.
Learning University is on the air. We got 25 more minutes of education. Tim, Ed, and Kendra. JJ's traveling. Why are we not surprised? JJ.
On the road again.
Yeah, on the road again. That's he either fulfills that song or I've Been Everywhere Man by Johnny Cash.
Yeah.
It's a good one. So
if you need some, some hotel points, see JJ. He's got plenty of travel points to cash in. All right, back to the phones.
All right, Mississippi's lighting it up.
Mississippi's showing out today. All right, Linda, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Yes, ma'am. I'm here.
Wonderful.
Well, good, Linda. Where are you calling from?
Yeah. From South Mississippi.
Okay, wonderful. Well,
let me ask my question and then I'll answer yours, okay?
Okay.
Okay,
sure.
What is the name of a Mississippi town that is not found anywhere else in the world?
So, this is obviously the town you're from because you said Southern Mississippi.
That's half the towns in Mississippi, Linda. Am I right?
Well, it's not Jackson.
I don't think there's a Hickory Flat, Russia.
I don't know.
It's right down the road from us here. So what's the name of a town
in South
Mississippi that's nowhere else in the world has that name? Is that what she's asking?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, so don't say anything, Linda. We're going to just talk amongst ourselves. What about like Kosciuszko?
Ooh.
That's in central Mississippi, not south. Really.
Okay.
Pascagoula. I'm going to go Pascagoula.
That's a good one.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, we're going with Pascagoula, Linda.
You know, that's probably true, but it's not the answer that I had in mind.
So wait a second. Wait a second, Linda. So you want us basically to read your mind.
Exactly.
And I'm just going to tell you, without trying to offend ladies everywhere, my wife pulls this on me all the time. What am I thinking about? And you better get it right. All right, Linda, this is a good question. You're gonna have to tell us because we don't know.
All right, Picayune, Mississippi.
Picayune.
No other Picayune in the world.
Now, how did you prove that? Did you just Google it and just
she lives there?
No, because years ago I used to have a zip code book. And when I was working, and I looked through it, and there are no other Picayunes.
Wow! Oh, there you go. What does the word Picayune mean? Where does it come from?
It was taken from the smallest coin in the Spanish monetary system back when Spain owned South Mississippi.
Okay, that makes sense.
Picayune.
But it was named for the Times Picayune in New Orleans. The lady that owned it at the time, Miss Eliza Nicholson, was given the honor of naming the first two whistle stops along the way. The first one was named Nicholson, and the second one was Picayune.
Mm. Okay. Uh-huh. Well, of course, the Times Picayune, that's the newspaper in New Orleans.
New Orleans.
Yeah.
Mm. That's fascinating,
yeah,
Linda.
Yeah.
Well done. All right. So which question do you want to answer from the professor?
It's sold for a Picayune, huh?
It's sold for
My answer, the Polaris Star.
All right. Let us repeat that
question. I'll repeat the question for those who are just tuning in, and then Linda will answer it. It's kind of a two-part question, and it is for an AFR ball cap. And we'll send it your way if you can answer this correctly. And Linda sounds confident already. Yeah. I want to know, what is the common name for the star Polaris and what is its significance? Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The Polaris Star is called the North Star, and it's the one that guided sailors for thousands of years.
That is correct.
Excellent.
That
job.
Is correct.
Linda. Excellent
and,
job.
And a little more on that. She got it right. Linda got it right. The North Star is the formal name is Polaris. Do either one of you know why this is the significance? She did get it right. It has been used.
I know
by,
it's for navigation, but why?
Are you talking about where it got the name Polaris?
Well, no. Why it's used for navigation?
Oh, it's the brightest star in the hemisphere, or isn't it?
It's brightest star. Okay, so
its location.
Pay attention, students. Okay. The Polaris, or the North Star, is a star that appears almost directly above the Earth's rotational axis.
Ah.
As the Earth turns, which that was a great show in the 70s.
Great soap opera.
Yes. As the Earth turns, every other star seems to spin around the axis, tracing out a circle in the sky. But the North Star appears to stand still. But no matter what time of night or what season it is, the following Polaris will lead a traveler in the northern hemisphere due north.
Interesting.
So that's a long-winded way of basically.
No, that's fascinating.
We've all heard the term North Star,
yep.
Which is mean to be something that is fixed and unmoving.
Hmm.
Like Jesus is our North Star, right?
Yeah.
If
okay.
you want to use spiritual right. metaphors, and God is our North Star. I've heard that preached before. So, but that is that's because Polaris, the star that Linda described there, it's unmoving.
I've never heard that part. All that stuff that you shared, the background. Hey, that's why this is Learning University.
Yes,
because people learn stuff on this show.
So that's why the North Star Polaris has, as Linda says, has been used for thousands of years by sailors all over the world to navigate. I don't know how they put it all together.
Throughout all seasons, but it's, no matter where you are.
The North Star. You look at the North Star. Anyway.
It's fixed.
All right, Linda.
All right, Linda, we're going to put you on hold. Don't hang up.
Don't hang up.
And we'll get your information and send you the AFR hat. So hang on, Linda.
Let's move on from Mississippi, but not by far, over to Alabama. Michelle, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Hey.
Well, hello, Michelle.
I finally got on.
Well, bless your heart.
Yes.
Well, we're excited for you. Where do you live and listen in Alabama to AFR?
Okay. I'm in the Tri-Cities, Muscle Shoals, Florida.
Uh-huh. Okay.
In that area,
Well, did they cut one of the cities out? I always knew that as a quad cities. Somebody get booted?
Well, quad,
You got Muscle Shoals, Sheffield, Florence, and what's the other one?
Well, you've got Keelan, which is close by, but
they don't count.
Picayune?
No.
Yeah, exactly.
In the Quad Cities. Anyway, I'm just kidding about not counting. We all count.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
All right, Michelle, ask, answer, or both. What do you want to do here?
Just answer on the, all of them have been taken, so I'll try the gin, the cotton gin.
Okay, who invented the cotton gin?
Was it Eli Whitney?
Yes, ma'am, it was.
Woo-hoo, Eli.
Oh, my goodness.
Eli Whitney.
Way to go. How did you know that, Michelle? Are you kin to him?
No.
Oh, okay.
just that name kept ringing bells, so it was a good guess, you know?
Good job.
Eli Whitney.
Eli Whitney.
That was a game changer for the cotton industry, right?
The cotton gin.
Yeah.
So that was, do you know any more about that, Michelle?
Well,
No, not really.
My husband and I went to the cotton museum in Memphis recently, so that you got to ask questions on based on what you know.
Wait, there is
a cotton museum.
Wait, you went to the cotton museum on purpose?
Hey,
yes.
Listen, back in the day.
This is our date night, too, Ed.
Of all the places you can go on date
this is
night.
Where we went.
Hey, let's go to the cotton museum.
Yes.
Let me explain something to you, Yankee boy. Cotton is a big deal, or was a big deal, back in the day.
Sure.
King Cotton is what it was called all throughout the Mid-South. And Memphis was kind of the hub for that. But
he was a believer, and he was, an abolitionist.
Talking about Eli Whitney?
Eli Whitney was, and he, wanted to you know, change the slave trade of, you know.
All right, so who are you trying to shame me here, okay? Come on, anyway,
I do agree.
There's some Southerners listening on this radio station who agree with me.
Well, I do agree going to the Cotton Museum for a date is kind of a stretch.
Look, yeah, when you have a toddler, you will go anywhere and call it a date. Right.
That's true. That is true.
Walmart can be a safe haven.
All right, Michelle, good way to go.
What's your question for us?
I don't have one, but like I say, you know, thumbs up to you guys. Like I say, been listening to you. I'm a mail carrier, so
we're rolling. Michelle, let me ask you a question. How long did you say you've been listening, trying to get on?
Let's see. I've been working for the Postal Service for right at 23 years, so I will say around 20.
Wow. So you've been listening for 20 years trying to get on this program and didn't have a question.
Yeah.
Who's shaming who now, Ed?
Yeah.
Take the focus off me. Hey, Michelle, listen.
If you'll drive over here, we'll give you a hat.
Yeah, there you go.
Michelle.
Tell me what an Appaloosa is.
An Appaloosa is a horse, isn't it?
It's you talking about the horse?
Yes.
Okay.
Just thinking.
Oh, what's distinctive about the Appaloosa?
About the Appaloosa?
Is this the one with the spots on it? Don't laugh. I'm not sure what you call them.
You're thinking about...
I'm not thinking about a leopard. I'm thinking about...
I didn't know it was a horse, so you're ahead of me.
Appaloosa.
Go ahead, Tim.
They have
spots. They have leopards and blanket hips with spots and all sorts of things.
Right.
Hey, that's the quickest thing I could come up with. That's an excellent question
off
the top of your head. Hey, listen, Michelle.
Thank you, Michelle.
Seriously, we do appreciate our postal workers, and thank you for carrying the mail, and thank you for listening to today's issues and Trivia Friday in American Family Radio, and you have a great weekend, and you stay safe on the road.
Okay, so Appaloosas, I do make fun of them if you want to, but
I'm not.
I do remember studying about this a few years back, and they're known for their good attitudes. Huh?
So you studied this?
No, they're very positive.
That breed that's just...
They're positive.
They're very positive. They're kind of known as the Joel Osteen to the horse family. You know what
I'm
saying?
The optimistic breed.
And they show their teeth.
Oh, my word.
Their white pearly teeth.
Oh, my word.
We need to quickly repeat our questions, and because the show ends in 12 minutes.
Okay.
So I have
whatever
two
you
remaining.
Don't add another one.
Go. Sounds good. Yeah. Which two pieces of the armor of God are mentioned in the Old Testament, and what Jewish feast ends tonight?
All right. My two questions remaining. How many different blood groups are there, and can you name them? And I'm talking about human blood types. And then when the two numbers on opposite sides of a dice are added together, it always equals 7. Is that true or false? That's what I've got.
I've got this. On what three occasions are we expressly told that Jesus wept? And
two have been answered.
Two have been answered. Right. And then the final question is, what is ranidophobia?
I have zero idea about this.
Ranidophobia. And I have a close family member who will go unnamed. Who has a mild case of this. Okay. I didn't even know what it was named till today, and I typed it in and looked it up.
It's a good question.
Ranidophobia has nothing to do with Canada. Okay. Nothing to do. It's not the fear of Canada.
Right.
Okay. Which is
rampant in some places of the country.
Let's see if we can get these questions, which have heretofore gone unanswered, in time. Let's go to Daryl. Daryl, hey, welcome to Trivia Friday. Tell us where you're calling from.
Mountain View, Arkansas.
Mountain View.
Well, Daryl, thanks for calling from Mountain View. Mountain View, tell us where Mountain View is if I look at the map. I think I know, but.
North Central, about 45 miles west of where JJ was last night in Batesville.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Okay, are you near the river there? The White River.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the White River.
Okay, well, how far are you from the Buffalo River?
About 25 miles.
Okay, okay.
Wow.
About 30 minutes.
I got you.
Tim, I'm always impressed with your geographical
it's
knowledge.
Ridiculous.
Well, it is ridiculous. You knew the river there where he lives.
Well, when you run from the law as long as I did,
you do.
You know the hideouts.
That's,
you know what
that's
I'm saying?
Right.
So, all right, Daryl, ask, answer, or both?
Both.
Which one do you want to answer?
The three times Jesus wept.
Okay.
Okay, on what three occasions are we told in the Bible that Jesus wept? What are they?
The Garden of Gethsemane before he was arrested, at Lazarus' graves, and then he prayed over Jerusalem.
There
yes,
you go.
Sir.
There we
That's
go.
That's right. Way to go. Did you know that without looking it up, or did you? It's okay if
yes.
you look. You did. Okay, well. Good for knowing. Yep.
Way to know the Bible.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Way to go. And that is, Jesus wept the grave of Nazareth over Jerusalem and in the Garden of Gethsemane. So, all right, go ahead.
Great question
for us, Daryl.
All right. How can you have three triples and three singles in the half in a half inning of a baseball game and no runs score?
Three singles and three triples.
Three triples?
And three singles and not have anybody score?
Correct.
You're man. Watching the game and you're eating scoops of ice cream. I'll take
listen,
a triple
I'll just tell you
and
this,
a double.
I'll just say this. If you got three singles and three triples in a half inning, you don't score, you need to quit.
Yeah, exactly.
Somebody doesn't know how to run the bases.
This is hurting my brain. I'm just trying to figure this out.
I bet that's never happened in the history of baseball. But anyway.
Because, okay.
I don't know. I could take 5 minutes and try to dissect it like a geometry problem.
Yeah.
But it's not good. Daryl, I want
doesn't
you to.
Doesn't make for great radio.
Oh, right. That's true.
Tell us, Daryl, how does that happen?
All right. The first three batters hit a triple. Try to extend it into an inside the park home run and get thrown out at the plate. So that's two outs. They each get credited with a triple.
Okay.
Next
gotcha.
Batter hits a triple.
Uh-huh.
So you got a runner on third and all three triples are gone. The next two batters hit singles. The runner on third's unable to score. So you've got the bases loaded. All three triples are gone. Two singles are gone. You still have to get one more single without a run scoring.
Okay, well, this is the same problem you had at the beginning. I'm going to have to go back and diagram that out.
So I understand. I'm following you all the way up to this point. So you're saying it's left with the bases loaded. What happens then with the guy at the plate needs a single? What happens then?
All right. The batter hits a ball that hits a runner in fair territory. The runner is out, but the batter is credited with a single.
But no runs are counted.
Huh. So you can be credited with a base hit, a single, even though the bat,
even though it hits the
hits
runner.
A batter and the batter's out. I mean, the runner's out.
Well, the runner's out if he's hitting fair territory by a batted ball.
Yeah. Wow.
And if it happens, obviously it would happen before the runner on third can score.
That is a pretty amazing. Correct. Have you ever had that answered?
No, never have.
Have you ever lost friends over that question?
Not yet.
As far as you know.
Okay. No, here comes Daryl. Listen to what he asked us. Go over here. Let's talk to him. All right. Thank you, Brother Daryl. Appreciate it.
Did he answer a question? Oh, he answered the question about Jesus.
Yes, he did. About the Jesus.
Great job.
All right. Thank you, Daryl. Yeah. Excellent job.
Time for another caller. Let's go to Kay in Texas. Kay, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Yay, I called last week and y'all got away before I could answer. I mean,
you have persevered, and perseverance
have you been waiting,
character.
You've been waiting all this time since last week?
Yeah. Well.
She never hung up.
Yeah, we're going to send you the phone bill.
Okay. All right, Kay, you want to ask, answer, or do both, dear?
I want to do both.
All right, which question you want to try to answer?
The randophobia.
There we go. Here we go.
Because I have no idea what this is.
Kay from Texas is going to answer this for us. What is randophobia?
Yeah.
Okay.
Fear of frogs.
That's right.
Wow.
Clapping because she got it right. Did you, you had to look that up or did you know that?
Nope. I knew that because I was a nurse for 40 years and I had a patient. I have a lab coat on with all these colorful frogs and they almost had a heart attack.
Oh, wow.
You had a what with all the colorful frogs?
A lab.
Like a lab coat?
Just designed.
And it freaked them out.
Yeah, it was like rain frogs on it. Uh-huh. I always wore colorful lab coats.
How long did it take you to figure out what was going on with this?
It took me a couple of minutes to calm them down because I was like, what's wrong? And they were like, I don't like frogs. And so I stepped out of the room and took my lab coat off.
So this person not only was afraid of frogs, but even
the image
images of frogs, pictures.
Yeah.
Adult? Well, go ahead. Adult or child?
Yeah. It was an adult. It was an older adult, actually, but I can relate because I am arachnophobic. And I mean,
oh, spiders.
The thought of them really mess with me.
Okay. Well, the question that Kay answered correctly is, what is ranitophobia? It's the fear of frogs. And
is that like Latin for frog?
I don't know either. I have a close family member. I'm not going to name her that I've known for, well, in a marriage way for 40 plus. But I'm not going to say her name. But she has a mild case of this.
Mild case?
Oh, my word.
Yeah, mild case.
Well, I can get it because they do just hop, you know, and so like it could quickly move and land on you. And they're kind of slimy.
Yeah, they jump around. They're kind of slimy.
I've known two people in my life who were that way about snakes.
Okay.
I mean, even like
I'm that way about snakes.
That's a lot of people, I think.
I'm like Kay is about, what did you say you are?
I am spiders that my mother was really afraid of.
Yeah. Okay, hey, Kay, we are running out of time. You have a question for us?
I do. It's kind of a two-part question, and I'm sure y'all get it really easy. But okay, so who was Jacob's favorite son, but who was his kind of most important son?
Okay. Well, Joseph was the favorited with the colorful.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then I guess most important, would you say Judah, since Jesus came from the line of Judah?
I'd go with that. How did Kendra
say
do?
Judah or Judas?
Judah.
Judah.
I just want to make clear we're talking about two different people here.
No. It wasn't Judas Iscariot. It was Judah.
Yeah.
Judah in the Old Testament.
Is that what you had planned?
Yes.
Way to go.
Way to go, Kendra.
Sunday school paying off again.
Hey.
We're out of time.
Yeah, we're out of time. Thank you. God bless you. Have a great weekend.
Yeah.
All right, we got to give the answers to our questions, Kendra.
You said that you taught on this. What were the two pieces of the armor of God mentioned in the Old Testament?
Helmet and breastplate.
That's correct. Also, what Jewish feast ends tonight? It's the Feast of Trumpets, also known as Rosh Hashanah, ends tonight.
Okay. How many different blood groups are there? Can you guys name them?
A, B, O, all the negatives and positives.
A, B, and O. And then it is true when the two numbers on opposite sides of a dice are added together, it always equals 7.
Mm.
That's all I've got.
Yeah. That's all right. Listen, thank you, Kendra, for...
Do you have any more left?
No, mine were all answered in the last...
Done got answered.
None got answered to the last, like, 30 minutes, and they all got answered, so...
Well done as usual, Kendra.
Thank you, fellas. Good to see you.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody, and we hope you have a wonderful weekend, and we will see you back here for today's issues on...
Share-a-thon next week.
Yes, Share-a-thon next week. Thank you.